Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, BMW's iX tops satisfaction surveys, Hyundai EVs will be made in Turkey, and BYD is eyeing up a third European production plant. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show I'll tell you about the new EV that Kawasaki just launched. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome along to EV News Daily. This is your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 4th of March. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Hundreds, sometimes over 1,000 stories a day. It's like a TLDR of the electric vehicle world, because you're busy, so let me be busy on your behalf, and in 20-25 minutes you can get everything you need to know in one podcast. Patreon supporters save even more time by stripping out the ads. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. All right, let's kick off with news of BMW and the iX, a really tremendous vehicle that doesn't get talked about very much, topping EV satisfaction ownership surveys. The 2025 US Electric Vehicle Experience Ownership Study. This has been done by JD Power, so they know what they're doing. Higher satisfaction among EV owners compared to last year, and higher than any other, with BMW iX drivers reporting the highest satisfaction levels. This survey is now in its fifth year, so we have some data to compare with now. And the JD Power US EVX Ownership Study looks at the first year of EV ownership. It uses a 1,000-point ownership index to measure satisfaction across the premium and the mass market segments based on 10 factors. Accuracy of the stated battery range, availability of public charging, which isn't really BMW iX's fault if it's good or bad, battery range, cost of ownership, driving enjoyment, ease of charging at home, interior and exterior styling, safety and technology, service experience, and vehicle quality and reliability. And when you realise that those are the 10 things, apart from the external availability of public charging, I mean, there's really nothing bad about the BMW iX, and it's an expensive vehicle, but if you've already decided to spend the money, or you can afford it, then you're not going to knock it down on those parts. And then otherwise, I see why it would win. BMW leads the rankings due to its focus on consumer education, says Brent Gruber, executive director at JD Power, saying, and I quote, first-time EV buyers are receiving minimal education or training. The specific education needed to shorten the learning curve just isn't happening often enough, end quote. BMW and Mini shine in consumer education through their Genius program, which they say is some of the best in the business. After a drop in satisfaction amongst EV owners in 2024, JD Power reports improvement in 2025, with both premium and mass market EV owners feeling more positive because of better education efforts, helping that first year of ownership go smoothly. All right, let's move on. And where's your next EV going to be made? Well, if you're buying a Hyundai in Europe, it could well be made in Turkey. The facility will be opening in late 2026. Hyundai's Turkey general manager saying, "We have a high-tech production facility and we want to make a mark in Turkey's EV sector." Well, the planned EVs will meet high-quality standards, they say, for Turkish consumers and, of course, the rest of the European market. Hyundai noting that rising demand for EVs, not only in Turkey, but the wider market as well, is growing. Looking ahead this year, the Turkish automotive market will reach 1.1 million units. But how many of those will be EVs? Well, less than the average in Europe, of course. Hyundai wants to sell 65,000 vehicles and increase their market share in Turkey, including over 7,000 vehicles there. So really playing up the homegrown factor, but those vehicles will be made, like I say, for the EU market. And what about BYD? Well, I told you recently about CATL, the world's biggest EV battery maker, having its third battery plant. They've got two already, one in Germany, one in... Where is CATL? Mind blank. Germany and Hungary? Maybe? Maybe Germany and Turkey. And one in Spain coming with Stellantis. Now BYD, the world's biggest EV maker, also say we're looking for a third vehicle factory in Europe in the next 18 months. That's according to the BYD manager, Stella Lee. The company also plans to produce electric vehicle batteries in Europe, but those locations still TBC. Now, currently, BYD is set to open a factory in Hungary for the Dolphin and Atto 3 models, and as well as the factory in Hungary, just like I just told you about with Hyundai, BYD are looking at a factory in Turkey also being planned. All about local manufacturing in Europe to just head off any tariffs and things like that. A third plant and battery production would greatly increase BYD's manufacturing capacity in Europe. The expansion would allow the company to offer more locally produced models and increase value. This move aims to avoid import duties and the high tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles entering the EU from last year. BYD say they're cautious due to the underwhelming performance in the European market, with sales stagnating or even declining for some of the Chinese brands that haven't really taken off. The vehicles are good. The pricing at times is okay, but sometimes because of tariffs and what have you, some of the Chinese EVs can be a little more expensive than perhaps would be ideal. I think the Leapmotor C10, that's in the low 30s, quite a lot of vehicle for not a lot of money, but not ridiculously cheap, by the way. And so you're asking people to take a leap, pardon the pun, a leap into a brand they've never heard of. It's Chinese, all the things that come with that, servicing and whatnot, and then not pay a ridiculously low price, whereas you've got, you know, MG, which many people still think is a British brand, and there's loads of dealerships around, often co-located with, you know, our one is next to the Renault. It's all owned by the same dealership group, so it's on the same site as, you know, as the big Renault and Hyundai, and so that's probably an easier sell for a Chinese company like SAIC to convince people to take a gamble on a Chinese brand. So yeah, definitely work to do to any of those that want to enter, BYD and XPeng and NIO and the rest. Okay, staying with BYD, they want to see sustainable growth, they say, in Europe. Now, they've had falling sales in Germany, the largest market for them until now. After becoming China's top automaker, BYD wants to repeat their success in Europe. But progress over here has been slow for BYD. Last year, BYD sold 49,984 vehicles in Europe. That was up over 200% on 2023. However, it is small fry compared to the numbers that BYD would expect to sell anywhere else. And actually, even small fry compared to what I just mentioned, MG, SAIC. They sold 243,000 vehicles compared to BYD's 50,000. In Germany, BYD's registrations dropped last year by 30%. BYD's strategy focuses on growth, they say, through local manufacturing and a sustainable growth of expanding its retail network. A senior BYD executive at the Automobilwoch conference said, "We have to put down roots here." And that's really interesting, isn't it? Rather than just bringing in ultra-cheap cars and, you know, a more of a transactional deal with the customer. BYD talking about putting down roots in Europe, becoming part of the automotive sector, building factories here to make factories and vehicles here. In Germany, BYD will grow their dealerships from 28 to 120. Have that visibility, that presence, that peace of mind. If you need a warranty claim for something silly, you've got somewhere local to go back to. The company is also emphasising local production. BYD's first European plant was Hungary. That's already started production, by the way. That was last October that went into production. The second plant in Turkey should be anytime now, or maybe a little bit later this year, perhaps. These plants, of course, are very crucial to avoiding... The tariff on BYD was 17%, I think. It was one of the lower ones. Others got stung a little bit harder, but I think BYD was 17%, combined with the existing 10% tariff, which everyone faced until these recent ones. With the Atto 2 arriving at European dealerships soon, BYD is aiming for some smaller SUVs. Now, this is really interesting. Franz von Holzhausen does not make too many media appearances, but he has appeared on a Tesla fan podcast a couple of times over the years. One of my favourites. It's a very long one, so I don't always get to listen. I don't get to watch, you know, listen to a lot of podcasts, watch much YouTube myself or TV. I got two young kids, so I don't get to consume a lot of content. I'm kind of busy making it. And when I'm not, I'm busy being dad. But if I do get any chance, either in the car or on the bike or something, I do like to try and catch up with the Ride the Lightning podcast. It's really good. Really like the host as well. He always comes across just a nice guy as well. And his name is Ryan, and he has had Franz von Holzhausen on a couple of times. It's always going to be a softball interview. I think Ryan's a journalist, actually, in the like the tech sector or something. I think he does for his job, but you know, gaming. But you're never going to get journalist questions on a Tesla podcast to one of the most senior people in the company, Franz von Holzhausen. It's always going to be a bit of a love fest, but that's okay. He did spill the beans a little bit. He appeared on the 500th episode of that podcast, and I haven't listened, but I've seen the reports over the weekend talking about the Model Y performance and his 16 years at Tesla. They were talking about design choices and upcoming Tesla releases, asking about his long-term commitment to Tesla. He credited it to the mission that Tesla is on. The thing that keeps me coming here is the potential for the future and what we're able to create, he said. That sounds like something that Johnny Ive could have said at Apple back in the day. Before joining Tesla, he was at Mazda and GM and Volkswagen, and there wasn't, you know, wasn't too much. They talked about paint colours and things like that. And, you know, there was no, they also talked about sort of future products, but no, you know, no definite announcements. But a lovely chat if you get the chance to go and listen to that. By the look of it, I'll certainly will be, hopefully in the next couple of days. Right, Elon Musk's involvement in European politics. I mentioned this yesterday on the podcast. Could be hurting Tesla sales, but I want to be really careful because a lot of people are drawing that conclusion, a straight line between them. Like, well, Tesla has had a terrible first 2 months in Europe, like down 40%, 45% in many markets, and some big markets like France as well, really down. And always want to be really careful not to draw a straight line from the outspoken leader of the company to the vehicles, which a lot of people just don't care who is the boss of a car company. But one of the implications that I think we can talk about with more certainty is now Tesla has had some consistent decline in Europe. It actually puts one of their bits of their business at risk, and that is selling emission credits. Car manufacturers in Europe face fines if they don't meet carbon dioxide reduction goals. Now, we told you yesterday on the podcast that firstly, this year's target, they've now got 3 years to meet those targets, which gives them more breathing room. So that's one less reason to go to Tesla and buy credits and do some trading. Those that exceed CO2 limits can avoid fines by buying credits from companies that are pure EV plays like Polestar and Tesla, and that make a lot of EVs, the likes of Volvo. Since it started, Tesla has made billions from these credit schemes. In its 2024 annual financial report, Tesla reported earning $2.76 billion US dollars from emissions deals, a 54% increase from 2023. However, this revenue is being seriously threatened as more European consumers are avoiding Tesla. And again, the article that I'm taking this from, politico.eu, the Politico website says, people aren't buying Teslas in Europe because of Musk's endorsement of far-right parties, campaigning on behalf of the hard right in Germany, helping that party to their best ever result in the recent German federal elections, and also making kind of endorsement comments about not being ashamed of Germany's Nazi history. Automakers like Stellantis, Toyota and Ford have bought credits from Tesla in the past, even, I think, in recent years. Peter Mock is the managing director of the International Council on Clean Transportation, saying, and I quote, if things go bad for Tesla and they don't sell enough cars this year, they might not have enough credits for what they promised Stellantis and the others. Tesla is under pressure. Well, supporting this concern, data from the European Automobile Manufacturers Association shows that Tesla sales in Europe is down about 50% in January, about 45% I think in February. The numbers are just starting to come in. We haven't got all of the country data yet. And that decline not only affects Tesla's market position, the money they make, obviously their revenue from vehicle sales, but also raises doubts about its ability to trade emissions credits and revenue, threatening billions of dollars of revenue. That report coming from politico.eu. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to read more and their take. Well, Craig, take a quick break, and when we come back, plenty more EV news. EV chargers going into schools, which is great news, and some big news about that Xiaomi EV, that SU7 Ultra. Insane beast. Stick around, back in a sec.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, let's talk Rivian offering a software upgrade to improve performance and driving range. Wasim Ben Said, Rivian's chief software officer, announcing that vehicles won't need the performance upgrade to be equipped when buying, as it can be purchased later, much like Tesla have done over the years. Selected R1S and R1T vehicles will soon be able to extend their driving range through a paid update. Owners can access extra range and performance features via over-the-air updates. Currently, the performance package is only available as an upfront purchase during vehicle configuration or when buying the vehicle at the point of purchase from Rivian inventory. If you activate the option, it costs $5,000 as a one-time fee, and it boosts the dual motor power from 533 horsepower to 665 horsepower. The pricing for the over-the-air performance upgrade has not been announced, so will it be a one-time purchase or a subscription service? We'll wait and see. Hey, here's a great bit of news from the UK. Teachers in UK schools can now charge their electric vehicles on clean, green electricity because better access to charging inside the school. Now, no charges at my school playground, but honestly, my kid's school is a very small infant school. He's only six still, and the car park is pretty tiny. But if the car park was bigger, and there was a big chunky electricity to supply or something to a big school, then why not add chargers to the car park so that teachers can slow charge all day long? That is the perfect use of AC charging. If teachers live in apartments or flats and can't charge at home, but they're going to be in the car park from, 8 till 4, 8 till 5 every day, stick it on the level 2. Bob's your uncle? Fantastic. That's exactly where destination charging works really well. Why wouldn't every space in a school park, car park, the teacher's car park, have an EV charger? Well, there's 1,407 new charging sockets installed at schools and colleges here in the UK. The Roads Minister, Lillian Greenwood, confirming that they've been in use since March last year, funded by £3 million from the UK government. These installations add to over 59,000 workplace chargers supported by the Workplace Charging Scheme, and that Workplace Charging Scheme has been extended for another year. Schools can open these charge points to local residents and even visitors if they want, making charging part of daily life. The government announced their Workplace Charging Scheme and the Electric Vehicle Charge Point Grant is part of the funding of £2.3 billion. Extended through 2025. Now, Xiaomi has delivered its first SU7 Ultra. This is the bonkers edition of the SU7. They've delivered the first ones to customers, launched on February 27th. It has 1,548 horsepower on the, proves on the standard model. It is priced at $72,000 equivalent. It's the fastest production electric vehicle in the world. Within 10 minutes of sales starting, they sold 7,000 of them. Their target was 10,000 for the year. The founder and CEO of Xiaomi announced that the firm orders for the SU7 have now hit 19,000 units, which is incredible. Xiaomi offers a 7-day period from an order going in, a firm order, to being able to get your 20,000 deposit back, noting that demand for the SU7 Ultra has far exceeded their expectations, and they're boosting production capacity on this tri-motor 1,500 horsepower beast. Well, a couple of more China stories, and there is so much China news around at the moment, and it's all good stuff because it does really impact Western consumers. I know we can't buy a lot of the cars, but some of them are coming our way, and I want to know if the car companies are doing well or not. There's just so much China news, I can't get over it. And I don't want to pack this podcast full of China news, because I'm guessing you don't come to it primarily for that, but you might be interested, so I try and only handpick the best stuff, but there is a lot of China news that I'm just, writing and inevitably throwing away each day. Otherwise, the pod would be an hour long. So, first of all, let's talk about some fantastic news last month for Xiaopeng, or XPeng, delivering over 30,000 vehicles last month alone, up 570% on the same month in the previous year. In the first 2 months of the year, like I say, got to smooth it out because of Chinese New Year and it falls in a different place. Total deliveries for XPeng in the first 2 months of the year was 61,000. That's up 375% on the same period last year. Why? Well, the Mona 03 did really well. Well, it's the third month it surpassed the number of 15,000 units delivered. The XPeng P7 Plus also reached over 30,000 cumulative deliveries within 3 months of its release. XPeng is expanding globally. They just shipped 300 right-hand drive XPeng X9 vehicles to Southeast Asia. And in February, the XPeng G6 became the first model to offer a right-hand drive version for pre-orders in the UK. The G6 should deliver this month. Now we're into March here in the UK in right-hand drive. Moving on, SAIC, which is basically the Chinese government, announcing on March the 2nd, 2 days ago, that their auto sales for February were almost 300,000 units. That's up 42% from the same time last year. They reported exports and overseas sales of 68,000 vehicles in February, up almost 20% from the same month last year. By subsidiary, the SAIC Volkswagen joint venture sold 63,000 vehicles, about the same as last year. And SAIC with General Motors, they sold about 31,500 vehicles, and that was significantly up from last year. And the other joint venture, SAIC GM Wuling, sold 130,000 vehicles, up by 70%. So let's finish off by talking about Kawasaki. And that's a name that you might associate with off-road vehicles or smaller vehicles that have like a little, I don't know, 500cc engine in the back and making a little snorty noise. Well, now those Kawasaki off-road vehicles, those little four-wheeler kind of things that you might see on a farm or something, Kawasaki's will be quiet, running on clean green electricity, because Kawasaki has launched its NAV4E, its first four-wheel electric vehicle. They call it a personal transportation vehicle. It looks like a typical Kawasaki UTV. Has two rows of seats, no cargo bed for errands, or as a neighborhood vehicle. The NAV4E comes in three versions: lead acid batteries on the base version, and then the lithium ion battery versions, adding 7-inch full color TFT display, an audio system, bumpers and a flip down windshield, premium seating, and even some floor lighting as well. They do cost up to $20,000 US, by the way. They're not even cars. Like I said, neighborhood vehicles or UTVs, whatever you want to call them. A 4-kilowatt induction motor on the rear wheels, which is about 15 horsepower or 10 or 11 kilowatt maximum power output, and at the wheels. And, you know, it's going to be 20 miles an hour top speed on this thing, depending on what you do with it. It uses two 3.2 kilowatt hour lithium ion batteries to do a total range of 40 miles or 64 kilometers. The batteries are located under the front seats. And that is your podcast for today. Thank you for listening, as always. And thank you to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.